All right.
Just trying to play with words.
That's right. That's the idea.
Thank God, you know, that's something about New England is that the weather, the seasons are very definitive in New England. It was that way. It's been changing this year, but for those of you who have been planting gardens, it's been a challenge.
Yes.
Even
yes,
to
indeed.
Grow some callaloo. Yeah.
Indeed.
My tomatoes are just blossoming.
That's right.
You know, it's just a tough time this year. The plants and nature is going crazy. I don't know what to do. Too much rain and then no heat, then so much heat and no rain. But we realize, you know, every day I concur with the Apostle Paul that if it was only in this life we had hope, we would be most miserable. And that's a passage I quote almost every day, because you just realize that life is just so unpredictable. We don't know what is ahead, but it's wonderful when we know who holds tomorrow.
Yeah.
And because we know who holds tomorrow, we know we can hold on to his hand. I want to say thank you so much for inviting me to be here with you, and I am enjoying myself thus far.
Yes.
And I know that last night I saw that we left here at 8:45. Your pastor told me that we leave at 8:30. And so I will guarantee tonight that we may leave before 8:30. So that I want you to come back. I don't want you to feel that I am one of those preachers that wear out the saints. You know, when I started out in ministry in Jamaica, that a church in Maypen, and there was this young boy, I don't remember his name, but I said, I would like to see him in life again. And every time I preach and I'm standing at the door shaking hand, he would say, man, you preach too long, man. If I preach for 10 minutes, he would say the same thing. I could never please him. Every time he said, you preach too long. And I said, I wonder what become of him. Yeah. I'd just like to know. But we praise God. It's just the different personalities that God sends to us that make up the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And we're just grateful that we are a part of God's wonderful family.
Amen.
Shall we pray? Father, as we open your word, speak, O blessed Master. Have mercy on this feeble lump of clay. Overshadow it and use it for your glory. I pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And tonight, as we talk about a stranger in town, I want to direct your attention to a passage found in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verses 1 through 10. That's the passage that we will be contemplating this evening, Luke chapter 19. And for those of us who have had a chance to visit the land of Israel, you will remember about Jericho. And Jericho is that place where they said that the army walked around 7 times. And when the people started singing and shouting, the walls came tumbling down. Jericho is a very fertile place, very fertile place. And here was a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a Jew, a Jewish brother that was working for the Romans. So Zacchaeus was collecting taxes, collaborating with those that were oppressing and occupying the Jewish territory. And so Zacchaeus was, tax collectors were looked on as traitors to their people. But Zacchaeus was rich. As a matter of fact, that area of Jericho, because it was so fertile, there was a lot of taxes that came through there. Also, there was like a toll area because Jericho is on the way to Jerusalem. And so people going up to Jerusalem, they would have to stop and pay taxes in Jericho. So Zacchaeus had a big tax business. Maybe like Pete Morwick? Or which other one we have today? But we have these. I saw the brother with a Pete Morwick t-shirt walked in. I said, my daughter worked for that company too. That's why I can remember it. but Zacchaeus was this big baller in the tax community. But what they were doing is that he could always collect the taxes for the Romans, and then he could skim off a little for himself. And so he was always skimming off a little for himself, or a big. And so he was wealthy, as we say, filthy rich. And so here, Zacchaeus was at the tax office. And then there was excitement at the tax office this day, because here came a woman who everybody knew that this woman was sick. And she came into the tax office and she was healed. And they said, "What happened to you, girl?" She said, "Well, you know, Jesus, that man was walking, that stranger in town, and I held the hem of his garment and I was healed." And she was so happy. And before she was finished her testimony, here walking Bartimaeus, who is happy and jumping and smiling. Bartimaeus, what happened? He had no cup begging. He had no CI dog walking. He had no blind cane, no white cane walking. He was just running into the office praising God. Bartimaeus, what happened? He said, "Man, that stranger, Jesus, that came to town, I just wouldn't give up." I said, "Lord, have mercy." And he had mercy on me and gave me back my eyesight. Praise God. And before he could finish, here comes a man walking with his bed on his head. Somebody said, "You fool, why don't you put down the bed?" He said, "I'm not tired carrying this bed. It's not a burden. This is my testimony." He said, "For 38 years, I was laid down on this bed. And this man, Jesus, came one day and asked me, 'Do you want to be made whole? Yeah. Do you want to be healed?'" And I was there sitting and I said, "There's nobody to help me." And Jesus healed me. And so I'm carrying my bed. This is no burden. This is my testimony of what God has done for me. And so Zacchaeus get excited. He said, "I've got to see this Jesus. All that he has done." The news came to the office. And so Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was in town. And Jesus was walking up the road, coming his way. And tradition says that Zacchaeus was less than 5 feet tall. I mean, I'm tall for him. Zacchaeus was less than 5 feet tall, and Zacchaeus ran out of the office to see Jesus. But the crowd was so huge that he realized that there's no way I can see Jesus because everybody's taller than I am. You know, they say tall, taller, tallest. Everybody taller than Zacchaeus. And so Zacchaeus, the Bible says, climbed up into a sycamore tree And these are all over the roadways in Jericho, common plant. And so he climbed up into a leafy grandstand to see Jesus.
Yes.
That's all he wanted to do, to see Jesus. But friends, remember that Zacchaeus heard the preaching of John the Baptist. Zacchaeus heard the preaching of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist preached a message of revival and reformation.
Yes.
John the Baptist, even the soldiers came to him, and they said, "What must we do?" And John says, "Don't take any bribe. Live within your means. Don't take bribe. And if you have two coats, share with somebody." That's what John the Baptist was saying. Care for your fellow human being. And so Zacchaeus' heart was touched from the time of John the Baptist. And so now he heard that Jesus, the great Redeemer, the great Redeemer was coming his way. And while he was perched up in his lovely grandstand, leafy grandstand above the crowd, not thinking that anybody would see him, but Jesus, who is God, knew everything about Zacchaeus. Jesus knew his name. And so Jesus came right under the tree, and he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to your house today." Oh, man. Jesus coming to my house? I wonder what would happen if Jesus came to our house. What stuff would we be hiding in the closet if Jesus came to our house? But Zacchaeus said, "Come on." He was happy to have Jesus in his house. But you see what happened? Zacchaeus, whom the church folks thought was the biggest sinner, was happy to receive and welcome and share hospitality to Jesus, to God. But what did the church folks do? The Bible says they grumbled. They grumbled. Grumblers Anonymous. Grumbling. Because they're saying to themselves, if Jesus knew what a sinner this man is, Jesus would never go to his house. And sisters and brothers, friends, I'm happy to declare that the God that I represent and the God that I serve, that God keeps bad company.
Yes.
That nobody is off limit. God says his sun shine on the just and on the unjust. His rain fall on the just and the unjust. God blesses everybody.
Yes.
And sometimes I'm a little upset with God. Because there's some people I don't want him to bless. But that's why I am not God. And he's God all by himself.
Yes.
And so I say, "God, I wish you were like me." But I realize that there's some people that you would turn your back on. But God. You know, Elder Cleveland always said that. He said, this is one of the things that God cannot do. God cannot resist faith. God cannot resist faith. Wherever you are, when you reach out in faith to God, you are irresistible.
Yes.
God cannot resist faith. And so Zacchaeus is way up in the leafy grandstand, not knowing that God knew that he was looking out by faith. He's reaching out by faith to God. His heart is open. Zacchaeus was ready to receive God, and God knew it.
Yes.
And look what Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, call him by name." Personalize it. He just didn't say, you up there, come on down. No, Zacchaeus, very personal. I am coming to your house today. Friends, I want to tell you, as the children would sing that song, he knows my name. I like that song when they sing it. He knows my name. He knows everything about me. He knows what bothers me. He knows what gives me joy. He knows everything about me. And what gets me up in the wee hours of the morning every day is that he loves me.
Yeah.
I cannot fathom the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Sometimes I say, God, why didn't you just write off this earth as a bad experiment and start all over again? But the love of God, his love would not let him do it. He would rather die than write us off. That's what grace is about. He gives me what I don't deserve, and he gives me more than I deserve. What a God we serve. As the songwriter says, if that isn't love, then the oceans are dry. There's no star in the sky. That's love. And so Jesus went home with whom they said is a sinner. But his heart was open wide. Sisters and brothers, that's what happens sometimes when outsiders become insiders. People that we think are outsiders become insiders. You know, there's another guy that is mentioned in Judges chapter 11. His name is Jephthah, an outsider. The Bible says Jephthah also was, his mother was a prostitute. His father was an Israelite. And Jephthah is growing up in Israel. And they said, you are a, you know the B word. And they chased him out of Israel. And the Bible says that Jephthah went down to a little town named Tob. And Jephthah became a gangster. So Jephthah has a gang down in the place named Tob. And there was another group that was coming against Israel. And the men realized that we can't protect our family and children. We can't stand up to this army. So they suggest we better go ask Jephthah to come and fight for us. And so they went down to Jephthah. And Jephthah said, I will come and fight under one condition. If I win, you will make me a judge in Israel. They said, well, Jephthah, we don't have any other option. If you win, you're a judge. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. Jephthah and his gang, and they prevailed against the other army, and they defeated them. And Jephthah became a judge, leader in Israel.
Yes.
An outsider became an insider. And you know something, friends? When you go and read Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, Jephthah's name is there. The writer of Hebrews said, I don't have time to tell you about Barak and Jephthah. His name is there in the Hall of Faith. God keeps bad company.
Yes.
There is no one that is beyond the grace and the redemption of God. God loves everybody. And so, friends, Zacchaeus, Jesus tarried at his house. And I always said, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall just to listen to the conversation between Jesus and Zacchaeus. Because the Bible says, let me read that here. In verse 8, of chapter 19, after Jesus had this conversation, this visit with Zacchaeus at his house, the Bible says, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." You see, the law in the Old Testament required 1/5, 20%. So if you use the Lord's money, you should restore it with 20%, 1/5. That was the law. If you are making restitution, you would give back 20%, 1/5 of what you stole or you borrowed. That was it. That was what the law required. But when Zacchaeus understood the grace of God and what he was enjoying, he says, "God, I will give a half of my wealth to the poor. And if I defraud anyone, I rob them, I'm going to give them back fourfold." That's a heart of true repentance.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's what happens when Jesus takes control of a heart. That whatever God requires in repentance, one is willing to do. That's the transformative grace of God. When it comes in our life, it's grace.
Yeah.
And I like to say, it's not the girl next door or upstairs. Grace.
Yeah.
Is God's unmerited favor. Grace is God taking my place and giving me his place. God taking that initiative, coming all the way from heaven, dying on a cross so that I can have life and have it more abundantly. And I say amen to that.
Amen.
Yes, when God comes in, when this stranger came to Jericho and met Zacchaeus, and that tax office was never the same again.
Right.
Zacchaeus started doing a different kind of business. He wasn't skimming off the top anymore. All he was doing is an honest day's work for an honest day pay. Because now he realized that there is a greater security than money. There is a greater security than what material things can afford. That security is knowing that Jesus will take care of me.
Yeah.
That's what the hymn 99 says, "Be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will take care of you." God will take care of you. You know, last night I got out to the parking lot and a young man, Joshua, came to me and said, "You made a very serious statement." He said, "You said that if you trust God and God fail you, you will never call his name again." And I said, "Joshua, I'm serious about that." I said, "I've been saying that all these years that I've been preaching. And there's only one young man that sent me an email and said, 'Pastor, you know, you said in your sermon that if God fails you, if you trust God and God fails you, to come and tell you and you'll never call his name again.'" And he said, "Well, Pastor, I've graduated from med school. And I haven't been matched. It's 10 years now. Going 10 years. And I haven't been matched. And I just want you to know, sisters and brothers, we pray we pray. And 10 years, a lot of his contemporaries in med school, they finished residency and went on. And now they were surgeons specializing. And he didn't even start residency. But you know something? After 10 years, the door opened.
Man.
And he got a residence. And I know he's going to be one of the best physicians that can be, because he waited long for his opportunity. And sometimes, as Vicky Wyman says, God is slow, but he's always on time.
Yeah,
he's an on-time God. He may be slow sometimes, but he's an on-time God. And so we can trust God even when we don't understand. Zacchaeus received more when Jesus came to his house. Sisters and brothers, friends, I want to tell you that the best friend you can have is Jesus. He will hear you when you call. He will help you when you fall. The best friend to have is Jesus. Anybody here know that Jesus is the best friend you can have?
Yeah.
Yes, Jesus and his grace is the best friend that you can have. Yes, God kept by company. God does not discriminate. And sisters and brothers, let us realize that heaven is going to be a surprise. As the old preachers used to say, there are three surprises. They said the first surprise is that you are there. And the second one is that some people that you expect to be there are not there. And then the other surprise, some people you don't expect to be there, they are there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the grace of God.
Yeah.
And we can't go too far that the grace of God cannot reach us. Yes, God will take care of us. God can take the marginalized and those that are left out on the fringes of life and make something beautiful of their lives.
Yeah.
That's the God that I serve. And friends, I can tell you this, that in over my 25 years of ministry, I've seen baptisms are the happiest days of church. And for my in ministry, getting wet in the pool is the happiest day.
Yep.
You know, last Sabbath, it was like 96 degrees in Providence, Rhode Island, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went into the pool to baptize five candidates, it was so nice. I didn't want to come out. It was just wonderful to get wet for Jesus.
Yeah.
But it's just a wonderful, happy time in the church's life and experience. And I want to tell you that the only regret that I see people have is that they say, Pastor, I am so sorry that I didn't do it sooner.
Mm.
That's the only regret. And I tell them, listen, God is never late. It's your time.
Yeah.
God is your time, and God is not going to leave. And friends, I want to tell you this evening that if God could reach out to Zacchaeus, a man that they thought was beyond the grace of God, Zacchaeus found Jesus, and his life was never the same again. And friends, I want to tell you that when you find Jesus, you're never the same again. Never the same. I baptized a lady, and she told me, she said, Pastor, I used to go out to the community square, and I would look for a handout every day. That was my job. But she says, that Sunday evening, when I got baptized, said, Monday morning, I didn't go out. Because I realized that now I had a purpose and a mission in life.
Yeah.
God gave that to me. And so she realized that she could do colportery and spread the word of God. And she became a top salesperson.
Yeah.
And when she was giving me that testimony, I'm telling you, she looked like those fashionistas from New York City. The hat, the shoes, and the pocketbook, everything matched. Oprah had nothing on her. That's what God does. Give you a new vision.
Yes.
A new life.
Yeah.
Zacchaeus realized that going at wealth and the things of the world, yes, it bought some luxury, but not happiness. He didn't find joy in the things, the real joy, the things that brings real joy. You can't put a price on it. You can't put a price on it. And I'm telling you that they have business consultants and they're doing behavioral sciences. And there's one at Harvard University and even in Massachusetts, he's saying that a family of four, maybe $150,000, he says, will make you happy. But he says, if you make more money than that, it really don't make you any happier. It can make you more comfortable, but it don't make you happy. And so it's just to realize, friend, that you don't have to be a millionaire to be happy. Because a lot of millionaires are miserable because they are scared to lose that money.
Yeah.
Because if they lose it, they're gonna jump off some building somewhere. Because they don't have that security, knowing that my security is not in money. My security is not in what the world offers, but my security is in God will provide.
Yeah.
God will provide. And Zacchaeus found that out, that what God gives is priceless. Is the pearl of great price.
Yes.
That is invaluable. And friends, that's what Jesus says. He will be with you wherever you go. That's Jesus. And you can call on him whenever you're in trouble, whenever you feel fearful, anxious, you can talk to Jesus. And Jesus will always be with you. Where's the sister that shared her testimony last night? She felt that peace. Oh, there she is. Hallelujah. Yes. That's what happens. Sometimes God give you that experience that, you know, I've heard it, that God give you that kind of experience that sometimes, you know, as the Bible says, you covet the good gift. I said, Lord, I want one of those good experiences too.
Yes.
But you know, it's one of those things that you know, Mrs. White, she had the vision and she said she was caught up into the third heavens. And Mrs. White says she saw some things in heaven that she didn't want to come back. The Apostle Paul said, I was caught up into the third heavens. And they said the Apostle Paul's education would be equivalent to maybe 5 or 6 PhD degrees today. And here's a guy with that much education, formal education. And what he saw, he said, I am bereft of words. I do not have words to describe. The only thing he says, I know that I have not seen, nor ears heard, the things that God has in store for them
that love him. Yeah. My sisters and brothers, friends, hold on to God's unchanging hand, because there is something better than what we can see.
Amen.
Amen.